was that introduction. Yesterday, when we came over here, he was supposed to read out the names of our children, and he didn't do that. All right, thank you. Okay, but it's a joy for us to be here, for Monica, for our second child, Arusha, and myself to be here. We've been warmly welcomed by all of you. I suppose I don't have to stay here. Okay, yeah. We've been warmly welcomed by all of you. I've had the longest contact with Barry here, and I realize that there are many Barrys in this church. So we give all glory to God for bringing us here. We were hosted by our family members for 2 days, and they helped us adjust very well. In 3 days, I have been to Tim Hortons 4 times. Thank you. And I'm a tea drinker, but I like the hot chocolate. And I want to recommend Tim Hortons reduce a little bit of sugar in the hot chocolate. My son liked the ice cap, and he believes that it's slightly better than the equivalent thing that you find at Starbucks. Please do not record this. So it's a joy to be here. It's a real step of faith that we are taking and you're taking. And let's pray and see where this goes. We want to entrust everything to God's hands. But at this time, we want to look into God's Word. So let's pause and let's pray and ask God to lead us, shall we? Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, for you are a great God. Lord, we thank you because you've enabled us to come to your throne of grace and offer you worship, to honor you as our Lord and our God, and to say hallelujah for your holy name. Lord, we realize that you love us so much, and we sang about it. And we thank you, Lord, for your great love has allowed us to come to this house, the house of God, on the first day of the week, that we remember your resurrection, to offer praise and to listen to your word. Lord, as I speak, I pray that you will lead me. I pray, Lord, that you will teach me and my brothers and sisters from your word. Father, I pray that you will override my preparation, that you will undertake for each one of us, that you will have a word for all of us, that we can take home and that we can hold on to for the rest of this week. In Jesus' name we pray and ask all this. Amen. That's my family. Monica, you don't have to guess who that is. Arusha, who's here with us, and our two other children who are not on this trip, Miranti and Prashant. Monica is the tallest in our family. And Miranti means very sweet, extremely sweet. And Arusha means cool, not hot. And Prashant, our youngest, means powerful peace. Names are important. And there was a young pastor who was assigned to a new church, and he visited a couple who was married for 60 plus years, and they were quite advanced in age, but they loved each other. The young pastor would see them as a lovely couple, and after some time they had tea, and the wife had gone into the bedroom to get something. The young guy leaned over to the man of the house and said, "Sir, I am so impressed by the love you have for your wife. You've called her honey. You've called her love. You called her my dear. You called her pumpkin. You called her every single word of endearment I know. What's the secret of your great love for your wife? And he said, shh, don't make a big noise. I forgot her name 3 years ago. I've forgotten all your names by now. I know a few of you. Maybe I should call Barry and I might get bright once in a way. But today we want to look at John chapter 16. That's the chapter assigned to me. John chapter 16 verses 1 to 15. And we continue to learn about the work of the Holy Spirit, our God, the Holy Spirit. You would have heard about His name as you studied through the book of John. You would have studied about His nature, especially in John chapter 14. And today in John chapter 16 verses 1 to 15, we would study about the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I believe in a God that cannot be quantified. You and I believe in a God. We have the great privilege of knowing a God a little bit. A God who cannot be known exhaustively. Because if you and I know God, you and I will become God. But God has given us a glimpse of His nature in the Holy Scriptures. And especially in this passage, Jesus washes the disciples' feet in John chapter 13, and He sets off to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in that walk, perhaps, He stopped a few places and He preached John chapter 14, 15, 16, and prayed in John chapter 17. It's one great dialogue, or really a sermon that He has with His disciples. A few places the disciples ask Him a few questions. And in this walk, He comes to John 16 and He talks about what the Holy Spirit can do and will do for His disciples, meaning the 12 that were following Him and the hundreds and millions that are following Him today. Jesus was explaining about the work of the Holy Spirit in this passage as He begins in verse 1, because for a few reasons. One being, it is possible to fall away. As you follow Jesus, there is the possibility that some may fall away. And so He says, I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. Some of us have been in situations that we were so close to falling away. Maybe you know people who really fell away when the going was tough and the disciples were going to face the most difficult period of their lives, when they would see Jesus being arrested, when they would see Jesus being crucified, when they would see Jesus being buried, and they really went away. And Jesus drew them back. And then the church began. And there was immense and terrible persecution. And Jesus is, the Lord Jesus is preparing His disciples for what is to come. And He says, there is that possibility that you may fall away. That's why I'm talking to you about the work of the Holy Spirit, whom I introduced to you in my sermon a few paces back. It is also... Let me go to this word first. The word fall away comes from a word in the Greek that means to fall into a trap. And today we use this word as scandal. But it's scandalizo, which means there is a trap in front of you, you may fall into it. And as we go through the Christian life, we may fall into places where there are traps in front of us. Traps that are temptations, that are places we need not go to, things we need not do, words we need not say. There is a possibility that we may fall away. And that's why the Holy Spirit was given, to help us not to fall away. Secondly, it is possible to feel vulnerable to attack. We go on in chapter 16. If you would like to read with me, you can read off scripture, or today in this day and age when there is PowerPoint, we read off the screen. You see, PowerPoint has taken a hit on reading scripture of the Word of God, the printed Word of God. Sometimes we should not have PowerPoint, but when we don't have PowerPoint, there is no power and no point. So we will have PowerPoint. Let me read, and you may join, please join with me as I read verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. There is going to come a time, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples, the people will think that when you follow me and you do not follow the established religion and they persecute you, it is a good thing because they are so zealous for the Lord and they do not know who I am. I am God, and there is going to come the Holy Spirit to reside with you, and people would not know this because in the Old Testament God revealed himself as one God. Behold, the Lord your God is one. That was the teaching of the Old Testament. And now Jesus has come, and through his relationship to God as Father, we see the second person of the Trinity. And very soon, the Lord Jesus is saying, you will see and feel and know and deal with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And he's preparing the people for that. But he says, when that happens, and when I reveal the Holy Spirit, when God reveals himself as Trinity, people are not going to like that. And they are going to attack you, and you'll be vulnerable to face attack. And he says, that is why the work of the Holy Spirit is necessary. Whenever you and I are open to attack, by whoever it is, maybe within the family, outside the family, in our workplaces, whatever we do, when people attack us, we need the work of the Holy Spirit to face and to go through such situations. That's the time when we call out to God, our Holy Spirit. A third thing that Jesus says is in verse 4. Shall we read verse 4? But I have said these things to you, that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. When their hour, the persecutor's hour, the hour that you will be put down for your faith, when you are under attack, when you are falling away, remember that I told these things to you, that there is God with you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it is possible to forget then the words of Jesus. That's why he tells us, remember. So, Jesus was explaining about the work of the Holy Spirit because it is possible to fall away, it is possible to feel vulnerable to attack, and it is possible to forget the words of Jesus. And so he goes on in chapter 16 and he talks of the work of the Spirit. The first one he talks about is that he will come to you. The Holy Spirit will come to you. Let's read the second part of verse 4 on to verse 7. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. None of you ask me, where are you going? The disciples would have been surprised when Jesus said this, because In this walk from the upper room where the Last Supper was held, and Jesus is walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, two of the disciples asked Jesus the question, where are you going? And now Jesus says, none of you ask me where I am going. And then the disciples may have been perplexed. The two disciples who asked this is Peter, in John chapter 13 and verse 36, says, Lord, where are you going? And when Jesus tries to explain, he says, no, I will go with you. I will even die. He is not hearing what Jesus is saying because Jesus is going to die. Peter cannot take the place. And in John chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas asks, Lord, we do not know where you're going. He asks a question in order to find out about himself more than find out about where Jesus is going. It's a question about us. We haven't kind of found out what is happening. And then Jesus comes out in John chapter 14, verse 6. But now he says, sorrow has filled your heart because I have said that I am going. The status of the disciple is they're in sorrow, that they are in confusion. And the work of the Spirit is that he will come to you. When you are in sorrow, when you are confused, that's when the Holy Spirit ministers to you. If you are in sorrow today for something, and your outside is good, we are smiling, we are joyful, but you're dealing with something inside that keeps you up at night, and you are worried, how am I going to face the future, or what am I going to do for this? The Holy Spirit is with you because Jesus said, he will come to you. He will come to you when you are confused. He will come to you when you are in sorrow. What about the status of the Holy Trinity in this passage when Jesus says, he will come to you? I am going to him, Jesus said, who has sent me. And if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So there is a movement. God the Father sends Jesus into the world. The Lord Jesus accomplishes his ministry of living his life, teaching and ministering to people, and then primarily dying on the cross as an atonement for us. And then he moves away, and then the Holy Spirit would come down. There is movement in the Trinity. The Holy Trinity, our God, God in three persons, is constantly coming to us. It's not only the Holy Spirit, but God comes to us. We do not have a faith that God is so transcendent that he's millions and billions of miles away in some kind of planet, and we have to offer and offer and offer so many sacrifices that one day we hope that he may hear us and answer us. We do not have such a God. We have a God who comes to us in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the form of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit resides with us today, and that's kind of getting ahead of this passage. But the Holy Spirit lives with us. He is with you, he is with me, because he has come to us. Let's just imagine, somebody says, I will come to you, and doesn't appear, doesn't come. You will be sad. You will be worried. What happened to this guy? He said he was coming, never turned up. You will be thinking, why did he let me down? Why did she let me down? She said 3 o'clock at Tim Hortons. They didn't come at 3 o'clock. You see, Jesus said, I will come. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come. And the Holy Spirit came. That's the promise that he gives us. What about the status of the believer? It is to your advantage, verse 7, Jesus said, that I go away, and the Helper will come to you. The word helper comes from parakletos. Parakletos is two Greek words coming together, para and kaleo. Para has given us paragraph. Paragraph, graphe is also Greek. Graphe is to write. Write alongside one another. Para is by the side. So paragraph, paragraphe, paragraphe. You get the idea? And parakletos, parakaleo is what we do with people. I want you to look at your neighbor. If you do not have a neighbor like Sam, like Barry here, just imagine there's a neighbor there. Look at the person next to you. Please, go ahead. Look at the person next to you. Once in a while in church, it's good to look at your neighbor. Now, just imagine for once that the person next to you is really cold. He is there, she is there, but very cold. Do not look at you, do not take care about you. I mean, can't care less. There is no connection. There is no relationship. I mean, you can sit there for hours and nothing goes between. Parakaleo is sit by the side, come alongside and talk. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And the person next to you, when that person talks with you and you see eye to eye and communicate, that's Parakletos. You're being a Parakletos. I mean, the Holy Spirit is doing something to us when He comes to us. He doesn't just come to us like Casper the friendly ghost. He just sits there. But He comes to us to do something. He comes to us to speak with us, to minister to us, to befriend us, to be closer than anybody can get closer to us. He will come to you because He's our helper. The English translation helper and the Greek word, you can see how far it is. But that's the best we could do to kind of explain what the Holy Spirit does. Some versions that you're reading down there would be comforter. One version I checked was counselor. That's what He does. He will come to you, Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. And He will come to you then is not just a promise. It's a work that He does. It's simply not a promise. It's a work. When Jesus said He will come to you, it didn't mean that He will come and wait for orders from up high to see what must be done. He will come to you. He's at work in your life. He's at work around you. He's at work for you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for you. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will convict you. Verse 8. And when He comes, let's read, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see Me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The nature of the conviction is He comes and gives proof. The Lord Jesus says the Holy Spirit will come and give proof about three things. And that's the quality of the conviction concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. People who do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ living a life of sin will be convicted about their status, about the nature of their sin. So when we pray for people who do not know the Lord, one of our prayers would be that the Holy Spirit will convict them. Convict them, give proof, tell them, give evidence of their sinfulness. Secondly, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see Me no longer. For believers, you and I need to lead a righteous life. The only time that John uses the word righteous in the gospel, in the entire gospel, according to what you and I have to live, a righteous life, the Holy Spirit will convict us, give evidence, tell us what to do or what not to do. One day, I wanted to lie. Now, I do lie, I must confess. But this day, I really wanted to lie to a shopkeeper. And we all have our cell phones, and some of us are on silent mode. That day, my phone was on non-silent mode. What is it called? Loud mode? Okay, it was not silent. And at that point in my life, I had, I'm not that tech savvy, so I don't know words now. I had programmed my phone to have a worship song. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. There's a song like that, no? I'm coming back to the heart of worship. That one. It had been programmed in my phone. And I'm trying to now lie to the shopkeeper. And my phone rang. And it said, I'm coming back to the... That's the Holy Spirit telling me, do not lie. He's giving me evidence. He's reminding me. You see, when you want to sin, you have to tell the Holy Spirit, don't talk. Don't remind me. Because he's Jah Parakletos, he's talking to me. I would tell, please, let me handle this one. I got it. You see, he will convict you about righteousness, and he will convict you concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged, about things to come. The ruler of the world, Satan, is already judged. He will be judged, but he's already judged. But the Holy Spirit will tell us about things to come, about what kind of life I need to lead. The quality of the conviction. Thirdly, the work of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. I love this part. He will guide you. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, will guide you. I am not going to be around. And the gospel is going to spread. Many people are coming to will come to know the Lord. And we will send the Holy Spirit so that he can guide not only a few people at a time, but the millions who will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Revelation is progressive. The nature of God's revelation about himself is progressive. That's why he says, you cannot bear them now. I will give it to you in installments. So the Holy Spirit is a revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving to them in installments. He will not speak on his own authority. Revelation about God is communitarian. He reveals himself as a community, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday, if I'm still around and the cold hasn't killed me, I will still be around to talk about this a little more. He will not speak of his own authority, because he speaks as a community to us, because his revelation is corporate. I'll talk about that next week. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And the Holy Spirit is here not to talk as one person of the Trinity, but as God, the Holy Trinity, the nature of God's revelation. And he will guide you. The nature of guidance, what kind of guidance is this? He will guide you, he will speak, he will declare. Three different words Jesus used. First, the word for guide is to stand in front and call the person. You see, we have guides. You go on holiday, you're assigned a guide sometimes when you travel the world, and the guide will take you from one attraction to another tourist attraction. He'll walk in front, he'll tell you, come, I'll tell you what this is. I'll tell you what this is. And he will give an explanation and guide you through. The Holy Spirit will do that to us. And Jesus uses another word. He will speak. He will have a conversation. The Holy Spirit will constantly keep talking to you in your mind, through other people, through sermons that you hear, through tapes that you listen to, through many, many situations in life. He will have a conversation with you. And he will declare. The Holy Spirit will announce to you. Announcement, be careful. That's what the Holy Spirit does to guide us. When we flew from Singapore to Shanghai, the plane stopped on the tarmac. There was no that connecting thingy that you walk through to the airport. Now you see, I'm lost for a word there. But you know what I mean. And they put us down in freezing weather. Shanghai has winter currently. And my son and I, we were just wearing t-shirt, and we got down with heavy bags, and then, not really heavy bags, but our bags down on the ground, and then wow, they were spraying water onto the plane, and the spray was on our bodies and it was increasing, and we were really, really like that. And somehow we got into the terminal building, and so we put on our jackets and stuff like that. But it was like after the bus had gone, you know. But we kind of put on our jackets. And there was this lady there holding on to something like this. We didn't even take care of her. I mean, we didn't even look at her. And we went in. We found our way. They spoke in Chinese and we spoke in English. And that's a story for another sermon. But when we got inside and we cleared the transit lounge, the same lady, the same officer came up and spoke with Monica and gave some information to her. She was holding our names there, our long names. And we didn't look at her. We didn't even care for her. We were so bothered about putting on our jackets and what next would be our next step. We were only worried about that. Some of us are like that. The Holy Spirit was given to the church for us so that He will guide us. And we just go past our guide because we are so involved in what we are doing the way we want to do it without any reference to our God. We are Christians, by the way. We are very good Christians. We prayed. We were praying. Hopefully we will. Lord, help us to get through this immigration. But there is a guide trying to tell us how to get in. And you know, she gave us coupons because our layover was quite long, 6 hours. And she had these coupons for our breakfast. And then if she didn't come searching for us, we would have had to spend our own money. You see, the Holy Spirit is like that, ready to help you. And what are you doing? Walking past? Finally, verse 14 and 15, He will glorify God. That's one of His work. That's one thing that He would do. Shall we read together, please? I'd like us to read together scripture. Now, since we are not reading off our Bibles and we are reading off the screen, maybe next week I should have larger font. I did not know what font to use. Maybe next week I should have giant font for all of us to be able to read. So let's read together. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. The nature of the Holy Spirit is He does not take credit. He does not draw attention to Himself. He draws attention to the Father. He draws attention to the Son. He draws you and me to God our Father. He draws you and me to God the Son, who is our Savior. And whenever somebody needs salvation, the Holy Spirit draws them to God. Whenever somebody needs a listening ear, the Holy Spirit draws them to God. When somebody is weeping, the Holy Spirit draws them to God. When somebody is in sorrow or in some pain, the Holy Spirit draws them to God. That's why the Holy Spirit was given, so that the church would not fend for itself, but would have God present with them. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. The Holy Spirit is God in us and working in us all the time. He will glorify. And every time a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ realizes that, every time you and I realize that I have my life together with the Lord, with God the Holy Spirit, every time we refer to Him, every time we bank on Him, every time we fall on Him, every time we call on Him, we are glorifying God because the Holy Spirit is glorifying God. We don't have to have, you know, half an hour glorifying God, the next hour doing something else. Our life is glorifying God because God, the Holy Spirit in us, is glorifying God. When God, the Holy Spirit comes to us, He will come to us, He will convict us, He will guide us, and He will glorify God through us and apart from us as well. I want to close with one verse. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Are you keeping in step with the Spirit today? I know you are looking at the clock and lunch is coming, and I know Pastor Sam is upset because he has a song to sing and I've taken that song time. What about you? Are you keeping in step with the Spirit? Or are you out of step with the Spirit? Make no mistake, we are very good Christian people. But are we in step with the Spirit? Is He coming to us all the time? Is He convicting us all the time? Is He guiding us all the time? And is He glorifying God through us all the time? You see, when my younger son, Prashant, was 6 years old, he was in grade one, and my wife was a student. She was doing her master's in counseling, and she would not go to school in the morning, and she would take, her classes was not that early in the morning. Our schools, I found out your school starts at something like 8 o'clock, is it? Some of them start 9 o'clock. Some of them start, but not at 7:30. Not at 7:30. Ours start 7:30 in the morning. So Monica would take her young son 4 days of the week to school, and I would take him on Friday because Monica has a morning class. So I decided one day to reward my son. I told him, today, instead of taking money to buy food from the cafeteria, we need to buy like that. Today, we will not go this way, 2 minutes to school. We will go this way, 10 minutes to school. Because on this road, there is a children's paradise, starting with the letter M, second letter C, you know where we're going? These guys are recording me. I better not get into trouble. So we went into this children's paradise which has happy meals and no sad meals. And then kiddies meal, whatever it is called here. And so my idea is to buy him a burger. That's all he needs for his break time. He takes water from home. Burger. Because instead of buying some noodle or something like that from the cafeteria, today is burger day. And my son, while lining up to get this happy meal from this very happy place, he says, I want the burger from this place. He says, I need this full meal with drink and with this other thing, which is, okay, let me not go there. Okay. And I say, no. He says, no, I won't. And he says, I won't. I say, no. And then we go back and forth, and now we are at the front of the line. And my son says, he's 6 years of age, he says, I don't want. And he walks out. And so what I did is I gave the $2, get the burger, I ran behind my son. He's 6 years, he doesn't know how to get there. So I run with him and we go to school. And we are angry. He's not talking to me, I'm not talking to him. Long face. And now we go to the school gate. Now, in our system, you cannot get beyond the gate of the school for security reasons and other stuff. You have to say bye to them at the gate. But from the gate, if the gate is there, up to the time I don't see him, he goes through those doors, up to the time I see him, it's about this length. And our ritual under normal circumstances when these happy meals don't get in the way is that he would walk a few feet, he will turn around, he's 6 years old, he'll turn around and say bye. And he'll go another few feet and he'll turn around and say bye. And we will do that. I mean, this is our ritual, and we've done it every Friday for that semester. And today he's marching. He does not look back. But I stood there. I'm the father now. I mean, I'm sad. I'm so sad. I'm telling myself, oh wow, I could have bought him this meal and withheld some things. But he, you know, I'm thinking of a lot of things. I'm sad. I'm standing there hoping that he will look back. But he did not look back. And then he goes to the door. And then he goes to the door. Just about the time that he would go in, and we won't see him. And then he turns around and he searched with all the adults out there saying bye to their own kids. And then he spotted me. And he ran all the way to me. I'll never forget this until the day I die. And he ran all the way to me and jumped into my arms. And we said, I said, I'm sorry. And he said, I'm sorry. And we were good. our relationship was mended. And so he said, bye. He walked 5 feet, turn around, bye. Another 5 feet, turn around, bye. Today, as I close, it's 12 o'clock. There is no closing prayer. There is no closing hymn. Those, if I talk more, there won't be any lunch. Today, as we close, do you want to come back to God? Maybe you have disregarded the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Maybe you need to realize that He's coming to you. God is coming to you. Maybe He's convicting you and you're saying, no, no, don't talk to me, no. Or He's guiding you, so you're oblivious to that. You don't even know what He's doing in your life. Let's pray. Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we come back to You through the power and the work and the person of God, our Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your divine Word. Thank You for letting us know from Your Word that You are with us. Thank You for letting us know from Your Word that You are speaking to us and guiding us. Help us, Lord, never to walk away from You. Help us always to run to You. May You be glorified through us this whole week. Enable us, Lord, in every situation to come to You because You are coming to us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask all this. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.